Chapter 46. And that is enough. Apostrophe, oh, yes, he's my friend, apostrophe said Martin, certainly. In fact, I have told him in so many words that we'll always take notice of him and protect him, and it's a good trait in his character that he's grateful, very grateful indeed. You'll like him of all things, my love, I know. You'll observe very much that's comical and old-fashioned about Pinch, but you needn't mind laughing at him, for he'll not care about it. He'll rather like it indeed. Apostrophe, I don't think I shall put that to the test, Martin. Apostrophe, you won't, if you can help it, of course, apostrophe he said, but I think you'll find him a little too much for your gravity. However, that's neither here nor there, and it certainly is not the letter, which ends thus. Knowing that I need not impress the nature and extent of that confidence upon you at any greater length, as it is already sufficiently established in your mind, I will only say, in bidding you farewell and looking forward to our next meeting, that I shall charge myself from this time, through all changes for the better, with your advancement and happiness, as if they were my own. You may rely upon that. And always believe me, my dear Tom Pinch, faithfully your friend, Martin Chuzzlewit. P.S. I enclose the amount which you so kindly owe, apostrophe said Martin, checking himself, and folding up the letter, that's nothing. Apostrophe apostrophe, at this crisis Mark Tapley interposed, with an apology for remarking that the clock at the Horse Guards was striking. Which I shouldn't have said nothing about, sir, apostrophe added Mark, if the young lady hadn't begged me to be particular in mentioning it. Apostrophe, I did, apostrophe said Mary. Thank you. You are quite right. In another minute I shall be ready to return. We have time for a very few words more, dear Martin, and although I had much to say, it must remain unsaid until the happy time of our next meeting. Heaven send it may come speedily and prosperously. But I have no fear of that. Apostrophe, fear. Apostrophe, apostrophe, cried Martin. Why, who has? What are a few months? What is a whole year? When I come gaily back, with a road through life hewn out before me, then indeed, looking back upon this parting, it may seem a dismal one. But now, I swear I wouldn't have it happen under more favorable auspices, if I could, for then I should be less inclined to go, and less impressed with the necessity. Apostrophe, yes, yes. I feel that too. When do you go? Apostrophe, tonight. We leave for Liverpool tonight. A vessel sails from that port, as I hear, in 3 days. In a month, or less, we shall be there. Why, what's a month? How many months have flown by, since our last parting? Apostrophe, apostrophe, long to look back upon, apostrophe said Mary, echoing his cheerful tone, but nothing in their course. Apostrophe, apostrophe, nothing at all. Apostrophe, apostrophe, cried Martin. I shall have change of scene and change of place, change of people, change of manners, change of cares and hopes. Time will wear wings indeed. I can bear anything, so that I have swift action, Mary. Apostrophe, was he thinking solely of her care for him, when he took so little heed of her share in the separation, of her quiet monotonous endurance, and her slow anxiety from day to day? Was there nothing jarring and discordant even in his tone of courage, with this one note self forever audible, however high the strain? Not in her ears. It had been better otherwise, perhaps, but so it was. She heard the same bold spirit which had flung away as dross all gain and profit for her sake, making light of peril and privation, that she might be calm and happy, and she heard no more. That heart where self has found no place and raised no throne, is slow to recognize its ugly presence when it looks upon it. As one possessed of an evil spirit was held in old time, to be alone conscious of the lurking demon in the breasts of other men, so kindred vices know each other in their hiding places every day, when virtue is incredulous and blind. The quarter's gone. Apostrophe, apostrophe, cried Mr. Tapley, in a voice of admonition. I shall be ready to return immediately, apostrophe she said. One thing, dear Martin, I am bound to tell you. You entreated me a few minutes since, only to answer what you asked me in reference to one theme, but you should and must know, otherwise I could not be at ease, that since that separation of which I was the unhappy occasion, he has never once uttered your name, has never coupled it, or any faint allusion to it, with passion or reproach, and has never abated in his kindness to me. Apostrophe, I thank him for that last act, apostrophe said Martin, and for nothing else. Though on consideration I may thank him for his other forbearance also, inasmuch as I neither expect nor desire that he will mention my name again. He may once, perhaps to couple it with reproach in his will. Let him, if he please. By the time it reaches me, he will be in his grave, a satire on his own anger, God help him. Apostrophe, apostrophe, Martin, if you would but sometimes, in some quiet hour, beside the winter fire, in the summer air, when you hear gentle music, or think of death, or home, or childhood, if you would at such a season resolve to think, but once a month, or even once a year, of him, or anyone who ever wronged you, you would forgive him in your heart, I know. Apostrophe, apostrophe, if I believed that to be true, Mary, apostrophe, he replied, I would resolve at no such time, to bear him in my mind, wishing to spare myself the shame of such a weakness. I was not born to be the toy and puppet of any man, far less his, to whose pleasure and caprice, in return for any good he did me, my whole youth was sacrificed. It became between us two a fair exchange, a barter and no more. And there is no such balance against me, that I need throw in a mawkish forgiveness to poise the scale. He has forbidden all mention of me to you, I know, apostrophe he added hastily. Come. Has he not? Apostrophe, that was long ago, apostrophe she returned. Immediately after your parting, before you had left the house. He has never done so since. Apostrophe, he has never done so, since because he has seen no occasion, apostrophe said Martin, but that is of little consequence, one way or other. Let all allusion to him between you and me be interdicted from this time forth. And therefore, love he drew her quickly to him, for the time of parting had now come in the first letter that he write to me through the post office, addressed to New York, and in all the others that you send through Pinch. Remember he has no existence, but has become to us as one who is dead. Now, God bless you. This is a strange place for such a meeting and such a parting, but our next meeting shall be in a better, and our next, and last parting in the worse. Apostrophe, one other question, Martin, I must ask. Have you provided money for this journey? Apostrophe, apostrophe, have I? Apostrophe, apostrophe, cried Martin. It might have been in his pride, it might have been in his desire, to set her mind at ease. Have I provided money? Why, there's a question for an emigrant's wife. How could I move on land or sea without it, love? Apostrophe, apostrophe, I mean, enough. Apostrophe, enough. More than enough. 20 times more than enough. A pocket full. Mark and I, for all essential ends, are quite as rich as if we had the purse of Fortunatus in our baggage. Apostrophe, the half hour's a going. Apostrophe, apostrophe, cried Mr. Tapley. Goodbye 100 times. Apostrophe, apostrophe, cried Mary, in a trembling voice. But how cold the comfort in goodbye. Mark Tapley knew it perfectly. Perhaps he knew it from his reading, perhaps from his experience. Perhaps from intuition. It is impossible to say, but however he knew it, his knowledge instinctively suggested to him the wisest course of proceeding that any man could have adopted under the circumstances. He was taken with a violent fit of sneezing, and was obliged to turn his head another way, in doing which, he, in a manner fenced and screened the lovers into a corner by themselves. There was a short pause, but Mark had an undefined sensation that it was a satisfactory one in its way. Then Mary, with her veil lowered, passed him with a quick step, and beckoned him to follow. She stopped once more, before they lost that corner, looked back, and waved her hand to Martin. He made a start towards them at the moment, as if he had some other farewell words to say, but she only hurried off the faster, and Mr. Tapley followed as in duty bound. When he rejoined Martin again in his own chamber, he found that gentleman seated moodily before the moldy grate, with his 2 feet on the fender, his 2 elbows on his knees, and his chin supported, in a not very ornamental manner, on the palms of his hands. "Well, Mark. Well, sir," said Mark, taking a long breath, "I see the young lady safe home, and I feel pretty comfortable after it. She sent a lot of kind words, sir, and this," handing him a ring, "for a parting keepsake. Diamonds." Said Martin, kissing it. "Let us do him justice. It was for her sake, not for theirs," and putting it on his little finger. "Splendid diamonds. My grandfather is a singular character, Mark. He must have given her this now." Mark Tapley knew as well that she had bought it, to the end that unconscious speaker might carry some article of sterling value with him in his necessity, as he knew that it was day and not night. Though he had no more acquaintance of his own knowledge with the history of the glittering trinket on Martin's outspread finger than Martin himself had, he was as certain that in its purchase she had expended her whole stock of hoarded money, as if he had seen it paid down coin by coin. Her lover's strange obtuseness in relation to this little incident promptly suggested to Mark's mind its real cause and root, and from that moment he had a clear and perfect insight into the one absorbing principle of Martin's character. "She is worthy of the sacrifices I have made," said Martin, folding his arms, and looking at the ashes in the stove, as if in resumption of some former thoughts. "Well worthy of them. No riches," here he stroked his chin, "and mused, could have compensated for the loss of such a nature. Not to mention that in gaining her affection I have followed the bent of my own wishes, and balked the selfish schemes of others who had no right to form them. She is quite worthy, more than worthy, of the sacrifices I have made." "Yes, she is. No doubt of it." These ruminations might or might not have reached Mark Tapley, for though they were by no means addressed to him, yet they were softly uttered. In any case, he stood there, watching Martin with an indescribable and most involved expression on his visage, until that young man roused himself and looked towards him, when he turned away, as being suddenly intent upon certain preparations for the journey, and, without giving vent to any articulate sound, smiled with surpassing ghastliness, and seemed by a twist of his features, and a motion of his lips, to release himself of this word. "Jolly." Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.